And what's happened in America is we're so secure that we really don't need our faith anymore. It's like, okay, I got it there. It's over there. I know where my Bible's at. I don't know what it says, but I know where it's at. But I'll tell you something. When the guns start coming out, or when the knives start slinging, or when the Islamic terrorists start coming after us, we all start going to church. We all went to church for about a total of 2 weeks back in 9/11 in 01. 2 weeks, America's churches were attended higher. Today, back to business as usual. And now we're disrespecting anybody and everybody who'd want to do anything about it. But I'm not going to get off on that, because I want you to see in verse 3 that he says his divine power has given unto us. It's a passive. You didn't do anything to earn it. It's what he did for you. He has made it available. He has given it to us. It's all sitting right there in front of us every single day. But we, it is us, we are to draw down upon it. The only way we do that is by drawing in close. And the Bible says, whereby we are given unto us. And by the way, don't miss it in verse 3. He says, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Did you know that as believers, our birthright is glory? Our birthright. Our birthright is glory. Do you know what glory is? That's a word that was reserved for God. That's a word that was reserved for the Shekinah, the inner sanctum of the temple and the tabernacle. The glory is what you were called unto. You were called to be lit up. You were called to be excited. You were called to be so happy and joyful in your soul, no matter what was going on around you, that you could not be stopped. You'd become a force. You couldn't keep your mouth shut. Remember when you were little and somebody knew, you knew something, nobody, and you blurted it out before anybody else did? Some of us still have a problem with that, you know? And our wives or husbands will look at us and they'll say, you know what? You just stole my thunder. It was my thunder. I was going to say it and you said it. Shame on you. And they're all mad and all discontent. But I'll tell you something. You get all lit up about Jesus, you won't be able to keep shut up. You won't be able to keep hush. Because God will be lit up in your heart. Beloved, I'm telling you about something maybe you've forgotten, but it's there for you. It's what God wants for you. It's not about what's going on in the sports team. It's not about OSU winning yesterday. Amen. But it's good that they won yesterday. Don't get more excited about OSU than you get about Jesus, all right? Go out to the stand, woohoo! Look at that, we won, we won, we won! The guys are showing their, ripping their shirts off, they got OSU! And I'm like, don't go there at church, please. But don't be more excited about sports, about a race, about a new car, about a house, about your yard, about that new tree you got in, about that driveway you got paved, about that whatever. Don't be more excited about that than about Jesus. Anything threatens His place in your life, that's the time to walk away from it for a while. You don't necessarily have to give it up, because things aren't bad. It's when things have you bad. So the passage tells us that this glory, this divine power is ours by a birthright. We were called unto glory and virtue. And it says we are given whereby this divine power gave it to us. This divine power brought it to pass that we were given exceeding great and precious promises. That's what He gave us. Now, if we went around the room and I started up here with George and I went one at a time and I said, give me a promise of God. George could do that. He's first. Now, see, you would like that, wouldn't you? Start with me, bro. I got one. But by the time we started getting through, would you run out of one? Would you be able to come up with, do we have 80 promises in this room? Does everybody have 80 promises? Because God wants us to know His promises. And you know, you can't draw down on faith without a promise. Some of us have a 1 or 2 promise faith. Some of us have a 10 promise faith. Some of us have a 100 promise faith. Some of us are so excited about Jesus, we just can't. Everything we say is, well, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good to them that are called. And we just can't not come up with a verse because we've got it in there. It's in there. And you just realize you're drawing down on it all the time. And that's where you need to get to. And the Bible tells us that we've been given exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers. The Greek word here is koinonia. It means fellowshippers or partners with the divine nature. You know what God's doing? God's winning people to Jesus. God's calling people out of darkness. The Bible says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. That's all He's worried about. Gates of hell won't prevail against it. All He's worried about is people going to hell for eternity. That's what God cares about, you know? He really doesn't care about your job or mine. He really doesn't care so much about our houses or how our lawn's turning out. He doesn't care so much about our boats and our golf score. He doesn't care so much about whether we get a home run. Thank God, because I never do. And he never really cares about all that. But what he does care about is he cares about souls. You know what the Bible tells me? God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's what it tells me. And he says, this be how they'll know you're my disciples, because you'll have love one to another. And greater love has no man than this, but then he laid down his life for his friends. You know what? We talk about being nice people, but the fact is if we don't play God's game God's way, what we're doing is we're being a stumbling block. We're allowing ourselves to go to the low ebb, and we're settling for that. I see people sometimes, and God forgive me, but I just see it and I think, you know, I was in a store the other day, or we were getting a bite to eat the other day, and this little girl came up with her mom and her dad. And her dad was a big guy. And the little girl was about this big. And something had perturbed that little girl. And she's like, and she hit her dad. Now, it didn't hurt him. He is much bigger than she was. But that's the world we live in. And I thought, because he looked at her and he says, he looked at his wife, he says, honey, I'm going to let you deal with that. They may be bigger than me now, but they go hitting on me and they're going to get some back. And you do it properly, my point. Beloved, I thought in my mind and my heart went here. It really did. I thought, why don't you just take the child and just throw them into hell? Because that's what you're doing. You're not teaching them that there's judgment, that there's consequence, that there's certain behavior that's a proper and improper. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father. And if you don't teach them to do that, they won't. And it says, this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you have a long life on the earth. You see, what I'm saying, my heart breaks because I look at people through a grid work of many promises and I'm like, they have no idea. And it breaks my heart and it makes me want to dig in deeper and find God more, so I'll be where He wants me to be, when He wants me to be there. This passage says we can be partners with God. And that's what God wants you to do. And he says in verse 4 further, he says that you might be partners with God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know what the word escaped means? Literally, to flee. Did you feel like that when you got saved? Did you feel like you were in danger? Boy, I did. I mean, God was all over me. I knew that God was going to get me if I didn't get right. I mean, I didn't understand enough of the promises to know that he that cometh unto me, I will in no way cast out. So at age 12, I didn't know that promise. All I knew was there was a certain fearful looking for of fire, indignation, and judgment, which is going to devour the adversary. That's what I knew. Scared me. Scared me straight. Beloved, we need to be frightened sometimes, not only for ourselves, but for others. This passage says that we escaped. If you never felt like you escaped from something, you need to go back to Calvary because you were in desperate danger. And if you didn't feel that, sense that, know that, then maybe you didn't understand what Jesus did for you. You see, He's the one who endured the fire for us. He became our burnt offering.